Adorkening and all affiliated shows are not intended for anyone under the age of 18. The following may contain discussions or scenes that have adult situations, graphic violence, nudity, strong sexual content, and graphic language. This show is intended for mature audiences only. Viewer discretion is advised.
Everyone thinks because you're a zombie, you don't know good coffee. Well, they're wrong. We have very active lifestyles. It's not all wandering the countryside aimlessly or scaring passing motorists. And we all love a good cup of joe. And there's only one brew that gets my seal of approval. Deadly Grounds coffee is my guilty pleasure. Bold, robust, delicious. It's coffee that can wake the dead. With over a dozen different roasts and flavors, Deadly Grounds can satisfy the most finicky of coffee addicts. The aroma is so intoxicating. It brings all of my neighbors out of the woodwork. Deadly Grounds coffee. Coffee to die for and zombie approved. It's good to get a little deadly.
Use the front door!
Oh, they're so disgusting.
Happy hump day, everybody. I hope you're ready to dork out with us. We have some awesome stuff tonight. And wait a second. Somebody said they wanted a mic. What do you want, Steven? What? Get her over with. Quickly.
Jesus, Leo. I guess the awards got to your head. Real quick, I want to introduce the multi-award nominated, multi-award winning podcast host and network of The Dorkening, Leo. That's all I wanted to do.
Jeez. If my head wasn't big enough, you know, it's just... Thank you,
Steve.
Thank you.
The awards got to your head.
They did.
I think you're shockingly mediocre, so don't worry, buddy. I'm here to deflate you anytime you need.
Awesome. Thank
That's
you.
That's all I wanted to do. I just wanted to inflate you more. You're a multi-award winning podcast network now. We are.
Yes, that's the most important thing. We, because I know I do a lot of work, but it's I keep on saying this, a lot of awesome people doing a lot of awesome stuff, you know? This show wouldn't be what it is without, you know, Brandon and Steven, you know, joining us every week. And Splash Pages, Drew and Rich are phenomenal. And, you know, over on Creator Spotlight, you know, we have Patsy and Philip. You know, it's not just one person. It's a group of people. We're all doing, you know, what we can to bring you content. You, the people that are watching right now or listening. And with that, I want to say we have somebody awesome, powerful. Brandon, how's it going, my friend?
Going pretty well. Thank you very much. I guess you could say that you were able to do all of this in the Dorkening by your powers combined.
Oh, I see what you did there. I got that reference.
It's like the name of the group I have on Facebook. So yeah, there's that. That's pretty much all I got for the show. So you guys can continue.
Steven.
And that intro wasn't big enough. As Leo's multi-award winning, I'm multi-award nominated with my podcast that's part of the network.
Awesome. And we have somebody that joined us as well. And I just want to say, Steven, you've been multi-award nominated for a while now. You know, you're gonna get there, but your show is always showing up on the awards. So you're doing something right. You're kicking ass. And that's the one thing that I keep on hearing, you know, from people is, holy crap, Steven has his shit together, you know, with podcasts, you know, I keep on hearing great things, how organized you are and you know, how on the ball you are. So, and that's why I made you an assistant manager to you know, help straighten things out here on the network. Because we got a lot of awesome stuff coming on. And speaking of awesome stuff, Tom Dog, we're trying to get you in here.
That's a really nice earring he has.
Yeah.
Oh.
Hey.
Oh. Hopefully we can get your internet going.
It's a little frozen. Shoot.
A little frozen. We'll give it a second.
Just pretend he's Captain America before he was discovered in suspended animation. All right.
There we go.
We'll give him that. When Tom emerges from his deep freeze, he will be the first Avenger.
But let's just look at the cool stuff he has on his shelf. Like that Pac-Man.
I was just gonna say that Pac-Man's dope. Egon right there behind it too. You see that?
Oh, yeah.
Dr. Mario.
Yeah. Speaking of that Pac-Man, hold on.
Oh.
Waka 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 waka.
Oh, there we go. Oh, very nice. I mean, I understand why everybody loves Pac-Man, especially like Miss Pac-Man. It's just like Ryan Reynolds said in Waiting. Like, oh no, I'm sorry, Pam Wilder. You know, she's small, she's cute, she swallows.
Oh, jeez, this is gonna be a fun one tonight.
I begged a hell of a week to quit ketamine.
A ton of people watching. I want to thank you all for joining us and let us know what happened this week that you're excited about. But what if you guys watched What If, I'm assuming? Please tell me you did.
I mean, sure. Yes, of course. Of course. I mean, it's on the same fucking night as the podcast. Like, of course we're going to watch it because that's bar none. Definitely something we're going to talk about every week until the end of this season.
That show, this week's episode was like, you know that scene in Doctor Strange when Doctor Strange goes like in the first mind trip he goes through? That was basically, my co-host mentioned this and I wanted to mention it in the show. It was a combination of an acid trip and through the entire episode, like an acid trip with Fantasia. You saw moments of Fantasia in there, but it was just one big acid trip.
That's wonderful. I love that. I mean, absolutely incorrect, because I've both been on acid and watched Fantasia, but so close to the mark.
Have you done also, both at the same time, though?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Okay. Also, if you notice at the very end, when he's stuck in his thing, you guys remember back in Back to the Future Part 2 when Doc is explaining how when two forces, two of the same people meet, it could bring the destruction of the entire universe. And he's being very sarcastic, or he could be. That whole scene at the very end could be what Doc is explaining. It destroys the entire universe, or it could be a worst case scenario. So I'm just...
Well,
We walked away from Back to the Future and Doc's comments there with very, very different impressions of what Doc was saying. Because my whole thing was not sarcasm. I thought he was being like aloof. like he's like, it could end the entire universe, or she could pass out. Like, that's not a lot to go by, Doc. That's a whole fucking spectrum, buddy. We need to know exactly where we're going to fall here. Is that an either-or situation? Or we might fall in the middle? And thankfully, Jennifer just passed out. I'm old, I'm young. You know, that's that. Could have been a Doctor Strange scenario. Supreme Strange? Is that what they were calling him? I watched shit with the subtitles on. So, yeah, so that's what they kept calling him.
Yes, Supreme Strange. And also so you had the Ancient One split him in half so that he could fight each other.
The grammar is going to be tough on that. I know.
let them fight.
A mirror Strange and a mirror Evil Strange, like Star Trek. Another thing that it was referenced.
Yeah, but they both have the goatee, so you know you can't go that route.
Actually, funny enough, the evil one didn't have the goatee for a while. Like, yeah, it wasn't until much later that he had it. Because I remarked upon it, I was like,
the hairstyle was different though.
Was it?
Yes.
I think that
the outfits were different too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean the cape that he got off the thing that he pulled through the portal. The second he put it on, I was like, oh, look at the inside of his cape. It's purple. He's the bad guy. Right away. I was like, oh yeah. I'm like, yeah, it's color coded. Thanos was purple. Agatha's magic was purple.
Kang.
Kang is purple. Exactly. Yeah. I was like, come on. Like, clearly this is the route we're going here.
Yeah.
I feel like there was something else purple at some other point too. Oh, in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Ronan was using the stone and it was purple.
Yep. So I didn't take the ending being because the two of them met. I took it because he killed off the non
absorbed him and then
I'm not killed off. He broke that unchangeable rule that was she had to die. And that's what ended the universe. And I love it that the end of the universe turned into everybody like inking away rather than like, you know,
the snap, like dusting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is still what they should have fucking called that. They should have called it the dusting For Christ's sake, yeah. Blip.
The universe just closed onto himself, and he was in his own little bubble.
Well, so I took that bubble as being that looked like it reverted back to an Infinity Stone. That's what it looked like to me.
I didn't take it as such. I just looked at it as being a Tesseract. That's it, yeah. A pocket dimension that is just what you see. He's the only thing that exists in it, and good luck to him.
I did like the Watcher just like just Stranger's like, help me, and the Watcher's like, nope, you fucked up, you're on your own.
it was cool that he could see him.
Well, especially earlier in the episode when he couldn't exactly see him, but he could sense him when he was like, hello, somebody there. And I was like, ooh, that's pretty cool. You don't see that too often in What Ifs.
Yeah.
But then later on when he pleaded with him, I was like, well, I mean, we don't have a lot of the backstory on Uatu. They just keep calling him the Watcher, but his name is Uatu. For anybody that's not super familiar, it's UATU. I might be saying that quote unquote wrong, but I've been reading the comics with him in them since I was like knee high to a grasshopper, and I've always said Uatu. I don't know if it's Watu or whatever, but as far as I'm concerned, Uatu the Watcher. And his whole race, like, the reason they watch and don't interfere is because they did exactly the kind of shit that Stephen Strange did in this episode. They tried to fuck with a civilization, and it ended up destroying them. And they're like, oh, maybe we shouldn't, like, interfere with other people's history anymore. Never mind. Bye. And they, as a penance, they took it upon themselves to watch and record different civilizations and the different facets of reality around them. That's it. You know, just a promise of non-interference. And, of course, Uatu... he's with a fly by the seat of your pants kind of watcher. He's like, no, I definitely, I wouldn't interfere, except for when I will. So ultimate nullifier, much?
Do you think?
Hold on a second. I was just gonna check. Tom, do we have you? Hopefully.
Yes, I can. You guys hear me?
We can hear you. A little bit of a delay, but we can hear you. And most important thing is, you can hear us this too.
Wonderful.
Oh, okay. Cool. Alrighty, not a problem.
Cool beans.
Yeah, connection common. Internet provider.
Oh.
I need a stronger signal.
Yeah, you're breaking out. But we'll...
I got blipped for there for a minute.
I'm gonna need a bigger boat.
Okay, so we'll try to give you a little bit of a leeway when we come to you. But Steven, what were you gonna say?
I forgot now.
That's fair. I do that all the time, dude.
Oh, I remember now.
At least you weren't in the middle of saying it, and then you forgot what your point was, because that's fucking nightmare.
Obviously, Uatu and the Watchers can't interfere. Obviously, in this episode, Uatu was just saying, I can't interfere, I can't, you know, you're on your own type of thing. Does that constitute as interfering, him talking to Strange?
No, because he didn't do... Strange actually addressed him. And basically all he said was like, no, I'm not going to do anything. So go pound it with walnuts.
Literally
stupid.
Talking to him. Was that like constituting his interfering?
Interaction is not interference. Like there's a slight difference. Like what Uatu said, it had no bearing on what was occurring regardless. Like if he hadn't spoken to Uatu, the same thing would have happened. But if Uatu had stepped in and then prevented it or tried to change it, then yeah, obviously that's straight up interference. That's a fair, very fair question. I like it. I like it a lot. Yeah. But no. Very fair question, but no. it was interesting to get to this point because this episode I felt, you know, they were really driving home like the emotional part. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of amusing to me at a point where I was watching. I was like, you know, not for nothing, but they never really showed how important she was to him in the movie. Like, not even close. Yeah. She was just kind of there, and quite frankly, it didn't even feel like they were really like romantically involved. It was more just like they were coworkers who maybe kind of dated, kind of liked one another, and then he was such a dick that he pushed her away. Like, that's what it seemed like to me watching Doctor Strange. And getting to the point in the show, I'm like, I feel like we're editorializing a little bit from what we saw in the live-action movie back in, like, 2016 or whatever it was. They kind of embellished upon it, which I understand it's an alternate reality, but they were definitely playing upon like, oh, this is like the one thing that's different here. And I'm like, the one thing? Okay, sure. Let's go with that. And once you get past that conceit, it's a really good episode. I really enjoyed how they played with time altogether in it. And it was smart that they had, Obengi, I think was the guy's name. The guy who was at the library of Cagliostro.
Yep.
And how when he showed up, you know, he was, you know, middle-aged just like Steven. And then you see, you know, fucking evil Steve doing all that crazy shit with absorbing creatures and what have you. And then he comes back out and dude's like super fucking old and on his deathbed. And you're like, oh, he was doing that for like hundreds and hundreds of years. He's completely off his fucking nut. Like, that dude's tapped. Okay, I get it now. If there were Cocoa Puffs around, he'd be cuckoo for them.
I just love that little gnome that he absorbs first. He said, you know.
And then the gnome's face, you're like,
Yeah, at first it was like, I'm going to destroy you. And then, like, he was like, oh, shit, what's happening?
never mind. gnome saying. puns. Anyway, but it was interesting too to see all of this because it really feels as though they're, you know, gonna touch upon this particular Stephen Strange again when they eventually get to the whole convergence. Because I mean, at this point, they're taking this anthology, and I think we all realize like they're gonna get to a point where different characters from these things are gonna come together. I mean.
Well, I mean, we already had one crossover with the tentacles, so...
yeah, kind of. Yeah. All right, I'll buy it. But to me, it just seems like a missed opportunity to me, because an anthology series is such a great idea, and there's so much you can do with it, and you don't need to have everything come to, like, some big head or event. You can just let the story be the story. And because, it, you know, you can tell they're directing it and funneling it towards a particular, and I'm not trying to be punny here, towards a particular end game with it. I'm sure it'll be fun, but I'd rather see them just extend the ideas further out and just play with that more and not have it be something like big that ends up having to do with a whole bunch of other things down the line. Like, the interconnectivity is fun. I love it. I mean, I'm a comic book fan. I'm used to that stuff, like crossovers and tie-ins and everything. But if they continue to do that, they are going to induce fatigue. Like, there is no doubt about that. You know, and people are going to get sick of having to see all the movies and then all the cartoons and then all the episodes. And then, you know, it's like, well, at some point, you have to have things run concurrently and not necessarily connect.
Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, and bring this back to comics, you know, like, you know, I'm having trouble getting into the current run of Batman because I have so many back issues to read right now to figure out, you know, what's going on. You know, it's
yeah, I completely understand. I mean, and that is that fatigue right there. I mean, when there's I think comic book fans, comic book readers are uniquely aware of a situation like that, just because it can get to be too much with tie-ins and like everything. Like I said, I've been reading comics, you know, regularly since I was, you know, 4 years old, and you know, I wish that was an exaggeration, but it's not. And I don't go through and just collect a title and keep going and going and going, because after a while it just ends up being the same stuff. You get new writers in and they'll try like different things with different characters, but it's still like the same stories. And when you get that jumping from book to book and character to character, and then they try to bring it all together, like, no one should need to read 27 issues of something that involves like four different comic book titles in order to get the entirety of a story. That's insane.
27 issues? Batman's at...
I'm trying to not overwhelm anybody, Leo. Okay. Because if I said 68 issues, people would be like, what?
Oh, not even. Yeah, it's they're at issue 113 right now in the current run.
Oh, I'm just talking about story arcs at this point.
Yeah.
No, not entire series.
Well, the whole thing is all interconnected.
Yeah.
Because the whole Tom King run, and then after Tom King, it's goes into the whole Bane, and then the whole death metal. I didn't even get into death metal, but I want to. I want to, but I need to get through City of Bane first. And
good luck. Yeah, you're gonna be in such a treat when you get to death metal.
Yeah. And they're doing something now. What's that alpha one they just dropped?
What? What the fuck? What?
Oh, Fear State. Fear Batman. Hold on. I got the issue right here.
You're talking to the wrong guy.
We were talking about it last night. Fear State apparently is some 37 issue arc.
30. So does it involve Dr. Jonathan Crane? If you say no, I mean, why? Scarecrow should definitely be the first villain you think of in a Batman story called Fear State.
Here we go. Dr. Crane is on the first panel.
Boom. That's right. I don't read the books, but I still know stuff. It's not that I dislike Batman. It's just it's too much. Just too much. I can't. But regardless of all that, what we're saying is they're clearly gearing in for more interconnection between all of this stuff. And, on one hand, awesome. You know, you go ahead and flesh and widen that universe right out, you know. But on the other hand, man, sometimes just let a thing, be its own thing. You know, you can know the stuff from the movies and other shows and then just watch that and enjoy it for what it is. I mean, they explain what it is you're looking at before you get to the divergence anyway. So what the fuck? Why not just have fun with it? But instead, no, we got to make sure that we're gonna build a new fucking team out of this, that, and the other thing, more than likely. And what's season two gonna be? I mean, and that's the thing, you set the expectation past that point. Does it end up still being What If, or past that, does it just become basically the MCU version of Exiles?
It looks like, Tom, we're not getting dropped frames from you. Are you
I am actually on my cell phone. I am actually using the camera phone on my cell phone.
There you go. Perfect.
Gotta love Samsung.
Perfect. There you go.
I think my computer's starting to kick the bucket. I think that's what's happening. I think I need a new computer. I need to start investing in the new computer.
Yeah, I'd say, because this entire time I've seen you move clearly and I can hear you. So
it seems to be a pattern lately.
And your camera's crystal clear, which is crazy. It's
Yeah.
It's sad when a cell phone.
I think I'm gonna start doing this moving forward.
There you go. Awesome. It's kind of sad that a cell phone is more powerful than the laptop, you know, but it's
exactly, exactly.
Welcome to 2021.
I'm dealing with this Mickey Mouse piece of shit over here called a computer. I got to be careful not to say anything bad about Mickey Mouse, otherwise he'll vault me.
What'd you say about me on that podcast?
I guess we're still talking about What If.
Yeah, did you watch this week's episode?
Oh my God, absolutely. It had a nice feel to it because it was different than all the other ones from what I looked at. It had a Groundhog Day meets Twilight Zone, and I liked it. I actually liked it. It was laid back than the other ones.
Back? I don't know.
I thought it was. I thought it was laid back a little bit. But nothing can top the episode, the Chadwick Boseman episode. I think that was I believe it was last week or a couple weeks ago.
It was
phenomenal. It 2 weeks ago, and it was. But this show was actually pretty good. This episode was really great. And you know what? I'm actually kind of interested to see if they would actually move forward into making a movie on it.
A lot of people are sorry to butt in.
No, go ahead.
I was just gonna say I watch a lot of the YouTubers that it's it's Mephisto. Did you see him on that screen? I have the theory it's Mephisto. But yeah, it's
come on, man.
A lot of them are saying This is the Doctor Strange that we saw in Spider-Man, you know, but what? No.
No, it's not. People are stupid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, oh my God, the Eternals.
Wait a minute. I think we should land in the water, Namor confirmed. Because when everybody talks about Mephisto, I think Mephisto is going to be played by John Cena because, you know, nobody can see him.
I hope Alanis Morissette plays Mephisto.
I still haven't seen him in the Suicide Squad.
Jesus, Mary and Joseph. Real quick about the Groundhog Day thing you said. Midway through the episode, I turned to my wife. I was like, I paused it. And I was like, hey, so we were thinking about doing like a Groundhog Day episode for the What If with Doctor Strange, because he has like the time stone, and we have him like try to stop some stuff from happening. Oh, that sounds pretty good. That could be maybe a lot of fun. So kind of have it be like effective, but you know, maybe towards uplifting at the end, or just ambiguous. No, like you know, like the part of Groundhog Day when Phil is trying to save the homeless old man from dying continuously day after day, and no matter what he does, that old man's gonna die no matter what. Yeah, that's pretty much what the episode's gonna be, like, solid. Because that's everybody's favorite part of Groundhog Day, starring Bill Murray, right? So yeah, just full-on bummer, man. That's what we're doing with Doctor Strange. What do you think? I don't know, can you have it done by Friday? It's already in the can. All right, nailed it. You guys are good. Because it really was like... watching, I was like, Jesus Christ.
Question, at what point did Dara walk out of a room or just say, oh my God, he's insane?
I don't know. What year is it? you make it sound like she hasn't come to terms with it. I was with her for 5 years before we got married. we were together 4 years. I proposed. We were engaged for one. We got married. And now here we are. 13 years later. So like, it's just, you know, she probably, you know, 2008 we started dating, so probably mid-2008. Like, that's what I figure. June 29th, and so probably by like July 5th, like, this guy's a little off. I don't know if I can deal with this, at least not the rest of the day, and just walked out. I mean, booze helps too, you know? The more alcohol people have when they're around you, like, the more tolerant they can be. That's part of the reason why I don't drink as much.
It's like Homer Simpson said. It's like what Homer Simpson said. To alcohol,
the cause of
and solution to all of life's problems.
Damn suitin'. Oh, boy.
So, yeah, what if, I mean, it was a dark episode. It was good. It was solid. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot of fanboys, you know, trying to tie this into something. So,
of course. I mean, that's like par for the course at this point anyway. Like, let's just nitpick and grasp it at as many straws as fucking possible. It's like, it's kind of like, you know, when I was busting your chops last week, Leo, I was like, oh, look at all these guys and gals getting ready to audition for the role of fucking Mr. Fantastic, because all they do all day long is stretch.
I would just love that we're going to have a movie, like, and then out of the blue, Mephisto is going to show up, and it's like, nobody's going to see it coming. They filmed it all in secret, and...
I think at this point, they should just save Mephisto for, like, straight up, like, 10 years from now.
Yeah.
Like, don't use him. And then the only time Mephisto shows up is at the end of, like, some big fucking movie. And then he's just like, nah, let's try that again. And just snaps his fingers and resets the entire MCU with brand new actors. Like, you reintroduce the characters, see stories you never thought of before, and people would just be like, what the fuck? And like, it was Mephisto all along. It's not a multiverse. It's a Mephistoverse. Just do it, Marvel. Do it.
That would be awesome. And by that time, they'll have Hulk rights from Paramount. Spider-Man writes from Sony, and they can...
we'll see. We shall see.
Speaking of Sony Paramount.
Well, actually, I was going to say, speaking of things that tie in all together, before we get to that, They have now released the Marvel one-shot, All Hail the King, on Disney+, which I have been keeping my eyes peeled for one-shots being put on Disney+, and this is the only one on there now. Did you guys all watch it?
Yeah, I saw it.
It was actually pretty good.
The thing that threw me off about it was the date on the title screen, because when you are about to start it, the date says 2014.
That's when it was made.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I noticed that too, and I was trying to look to see it if it was in bundled in with some of the other Marvel movies at that time.
Yes.
And I did stumble upon another Marvel one shot, which probably they're gonna tease about later. I think it had something to do with Peggy Carter.
Yeah, there were a few of them around that point in time. There was one with Peggy Carter, that one with Trevor Slattery. There was another one that actually involved what's her name? Maria Hill. It was like item 326 or some bullshit like that. I've actually never seen any of them, and I'm pretty sure I have them because I have like every single like limited edition set of those movies that they release, like the suitcase with the Tesseract. I have the orb from Guardians of the Galaxy for Phase 2. And then I actually have like the whole Infinity Saga, like big old red box. Oh yeah. My wife got that for me.
Did it come in good condition? Cause everyone else that got that, like,
yeah, mine was brand new and fucking fantastic.
And if it didn't, she'd return it until she got it for free.
She would return it and then end up somehow with like five fucking more of them. Like,
people that got that a few years ago didn't get it in good condition. Like, it was, I think you got a handwritten note from the cast or a signature from all that in the original. Like,
I got all that. And it's wonderful. Like, there's not a problem with any of it. So
you're one of the select few that got it in good condition then.
That sounds right. Sounds right to me. I'm not going to argue with that. I know that I have them, but digging through all the discs, I was just like, I'll just wait for them to be available digitally. And they've never been available digitally.
Oh. Well, is that something that should go on Pete to the Lex?
Yes, it should go on Pluther. Which is what I'm calling it from now on.
Like Shang-Chi.
Perfect. Shang-Chi's not available.
Shang-Chi.
Not yet.
But check out Pluther later on. That's what it's called forever now.
Pluther, yeah.
You guys can keep calling it whatever the fuck you want.
I love it. That's what we'll call it from now on.
Pluther.
Yeah.
that way, like, we know exactly what we're talking about too. It's wonderful.
Tom doesn't know what we're talking about.
It's okay, we can explain it later.
Yeah.
Don't worry, not on air, we'll tell you later.
It has to be off air.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was really cool watching this for the first time. I had tried watching it a few years ago because somebody had put it on YouTube, but the quality was just lacking. I love how they opened up with like a classic kind of credits sequence. It looked very 1970s. I was like, oh, that's dope. Like a Marvel Studios production. I was like,
especially the title card was just 70s.
Yeah. So it was great.
So you totally blew my mind. So this here was made a while ago?
Yeah, 2014. Okay. Like right after Iron Man 3.
Yeah, because I had to look in the new and trending, like just released.
Did you guys not know that?
No, I thought it was made specifically for.
No, that's like
rings.
7 years. That's like 7 or 8 years old, and it was done.
It's time with Shang-Chi.
No, it wasn't, because there was no Shang-Chi. Like, there was no Shang-Chi 7 years ago. That was not why this was made. It was made to placate every fanboy who lost their fucking mind when they watched Iron Man 3. And then Trevor Slattery was not the Mandarin, and the Mandarin was supposedly Aldrich, blah, 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 whatever the fuck his name was.
Killian.
Guy Pierce.
Aldrich Killian.
Killian, yeah. Aldrich Killian.
Yep.
He was the Mandarin. And that was all done to let the fanboys know, like, don't worry, they're the real Mandarin with the 10 rings is still out there. Wink! Like, you guys know if you wink, you don't have to say wink, right? Yeah, we know. Wink.
I even noticed too, going back with some of the Iron Man movies, that they were hinting on 10 rings in some of the back at Phase 1.
Well, Ten Rings was
the name of the terrorist organization that took Tony Stark hostage and put him in the cave. I mean, they do the whole video with the Ten Rings flag behind them in Iron Man 1. So it's not like they were hiding it. You know, anybody nerds like us, when we saw Iron Man in 2008, we were like, oh, the rings. You know,
then when they showed off Hail to the King, they hinted forward into they kind of left it open for maybe having Trevor meet the Mandarin.
Well, I'm pretty sure that he's in Shang-Chi.
He is. It's been confirmed.
Oh, he is.
Okay. Oh, I've seen the pictures. Yes, it is. Yeah, it is confirmed.
I saw a photo that looked remarkably like him as well. Having finally seen the one shot today, I am a little confused by seeing him in the photo I saw from Shang-Chi because of what Scooter McNary's character said to Trevor Slattery. You know, like, oh, somebody here and they want their name back, blah, 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 blah. Like, Trevor Slattery didn't even, like, know who the fuck the actual Mandarin was, clearly, at that point. So, like, to see him in the, like, tiny little snippet I did for Shang-Chi and what it shows him doing with other people around. Yep. I'm like, did the Mandarin get at him and say like, hey, listen, I'm going to clean your shit up and I'm going to give you like a real purpose. That's fine. But like, if there's none of that explanation and then they just go into he's there, that's shitty. That's not good storytelling at all.
Well, they're going to have to explain it in the movie because there's going to be people that didn't watch the one shot.
Or they don't. Like that's my worry is like they don't really explain it. They're just kind of like, hey, weren't you the guy that said he was the Mandarin? Oh yeah, I was. And then like that's it.
I think they're
exit stage left even.
I think they'll use it to tie everything together.
Hopefully. Yeah. We'll find out.
We will.
When does Shang-Chi come out again, gang?
This Friday.
What?
But I'm gonna wait until it comes out on VOD. I'm not going to the theater. You're going to the theater? Oh no!
I mean,
no.
If I go to the theater, it will be at like 10 o'clock in the fucking morning.
Yeah.
When no one else shows up. That's the fun thing about having ADHD, kids. Is I stay up all night and I wake up early. it's a living nightmare. But I'm doing stuff when nobody else is, so I got that going for me, which is nice.
Well, I'm excited for it. I'm sure we all are. We were going to bring up, Sony.
Paramount.
Sony Paramount. Yes.
So,
seems like releasing these movies on time is a real Mission Impossible.
So,
it was delayed, gang.
Yeah. So, Ghostbusters delayed, Top Gun.
Ghostbusters is delayed a week. It took Top Gun slot, and Top Gun got pushed to next year.
Oh, no, not Top Gun, please. Like, finally, the sequel to Top Gun that absolutely nobody asked for. Great. Oh, I'm sorry. Finally, the sequel to Top Gun that only Leo Pond asked for. For everyone who's just listening, when I said that first thing, Leo raised his hand. So there's that.
Like, do we really need another Tom Cruise movie where every stunt he does is like he's playing a bet with the Grim Reaper?
I mean... I feel like you want me.
When,
I feel like
when
you
he
want
was
me
told
to say
not
no.
to fly one of the jets. I was like, what? Like, all the Air Force doesn't want you touching their planes.
Tom, you can't do that. Not with that attitude. Tom, you can't jump out of a jet like that. Maybe you can't jump out of a jet like that. Like, I feel like that's Tom Cruise's like kind of response to everything on set. You can't do that, Tom. You can't.
Maybe the Air Force saw Tom Cruise play the Top Gun NES game and trying to land the plane.
I never landed the goddamn plane in that. I own that game. Yeah. Of course you did. Of course you did, Leo. I couldn't figure. I mean, granted, I was only six, so I didn't have the motor skills or patience for it, and I couldn't quite understand it. It's not like I got the game with an instruction booklet. No, it was... See, it was just a cartridge given to me by my uncle. Like, here, kid, I don't want this anymore.
I saw the movie, absolutely loved it. I told my mom, I'm joining the Air Force. And she said, hell no. So then I got the game.
Oh, little Leo, you should temper your expectations.
I was so in love with airplanes when that movie came out, and you know, I kept on thinking, oh, I'm gonna join the Air Force. And we went to a church sale, and there was a old pilot that was selling like all his Air Force magazines, and I bought them all. I'm like, and yeah,
then, this is the life for me. Yeah, right.
Yeah, it didn't happen. No.
Well, listen, man, I tried joining the military, and it seemed like it was everything it was cracked up to be, but then they were like, wait a minute, you have asthma? Get the fuck out of here. I'm like, what? And that was enough. That was it. I tried joining the Navy, and that, my dad was in the Air Force, though, yeah. And you would have probably liked it if you had gotten in, if you had actually gone, because from what I understand, like, when you're in the Air Force, you have the chance to actually, like, travel, like, go to a bunch of different places, and Air Force and Navy are usually two of the last people they send in for shit.
Yeah, like, but
and you never know, you could end up Forrest Gumping your way across everything. Oh, yeah. Like my fucking dad did that. He was in the fucking Belgian Congo when it became Zaire. Like, what the fuck kind of story is that?
Apparently, I couldn't enlist or anything because I have a disability, so I couldn't. So
yeah, I mean, they didn't even. I mean,
stayed out of that one.
I mean, asthma was what they call PDQ, personal disqualification. But I mean, we didn't even get to the actual, like, MEPS, which is the physical examination, because when they did that, they probably would have booted me anyway because my eardrum ruptured when I was like 12. I hit my ear and I went down like a fucking sack of potatoes, and I could blow air out of my ear for like 2 weeks.
I have to apologize. I totally did not see that we had comments coming in.
Oh, hey, comments, guys.
Whoops.
Cheer. Smiley face. Hey. This is Mr. Lincoln Brutes hey. Groots Roots. Cheers. Just saw the headline. Huge Kevin Smith fan. Clerks 3 and Mallrats 2 are coming out. Did you guys see Yoga Hosers?
As of midnight last night, Clerks 3 is wrapped.
Yeah. Yep. Probably spelt that wrong. Yeah, you did, but we still understood what you meant, and I said it correctly for you. No biggie.
Totally.
I have not seen Yoga Hosers. I've heard Kevin Smith himself disparage the hell out of that movie. Funny enough, though, some people that we know, they actually released it on VHS in a limited fashion. It was Rokar Fam with WitterEntertainment.com, which is pretty cool, like, to see that they managed to get that on a VHS in a clamshell. But yeah, Kevin Smith, I guess he fucking craps on that one. So that's pretty rough.
Yeah, he does.
I'm glad you liked it, though. That's awesome.
Awkwafina's in she's in Ten Rings, right?
Yeah, but did they have to have her? Well, clearly the director and producers felt yes they did, because they cast her. Like, I'm so late on movies and watching Darsh.
Unavailable.
Apparently, we like crazy rich Asians that much.
Joanna's saying, I'm so late on movies, I'm watching Dark Phoenix. Oof, I have major issues with these X-Men movies compared to the original plot lines. Well, the plus side of that, Joanna, is you never have to worry about those being made ever again. And with MC... No, she's in the new Chang movie. Yeah. No, we understood that she's in Shang-Chi. But you wouldn't be obsessed with Top Gun if you lived near a naval base. My house shook when the planes would fly over. Or that might be the only way that Leo could achieve orgasm. So let's think about that.
So actually, where I grew up, it was my brain. Sorry, my brain shut off for a second there.
Farm.
We were at the highest point in our town. And there was
were you all stoned? Sorry, go ahead. I'm sorry.
We were right under we used to get buzzed by Air Force jets all the time, like the big cargo planes and stuff like that. And also my brother his business is airplanes. So he'd literally buzz the house growing up. There was one time he tagged the top of a treetop, and we're like, oh shit, you're not supposed to be going that low.
You're not supposed to be going that low. Tom Cruising it up.
Yeah.
Because I was inverted, man. Oh shit. But yeah, so anyway.
we got off topic.
I was like buzzing through all the stuff that was popping up. So if there's anything more, man.
No, that's all.
Good. All right. I mean, not good. Keep him coming, gang. Comment away and we'll get to him 10 minutes from now. The newbies would buzz the houses on the way to the station.
Actually, where we are right now, we're right next to a Navy base. Mm-hmm. And we get...
Man, when those boats fly overhead...
No, when they're launching a new sub or something happens and we get jets that fly over and they're like, holy shit, are they going to crash? It's like, we're right.
Are you like, are they going to crash or come on, get the cell phone ready. I want photo and video.
There's a huge Navy base right next to where we are, and mm-hmm. Steven knows about it. Yeah,
that's always fun living near a fucking naval base, Navy Yard place. That's the best.
The famous naval submarine base in Groton.
Yeah, and it's.
I went there when I was in high school.
Yeah.
We had a field trip because I was in the ROTC program in my high school, and we actually took a trip over there, and it was actually nice, very nice.
Did you go to the Naval Museum that's right next to it?
Yes, we did.
Did you go
and
into?
We actually went inside the sub itself, and it was actually very nice.
Very cool. I tried going into the sub. I tried going into the sub, made it down the stairway, and then I realized I have claustrophobia.
No shit.
Yeah, you have to watch your step in there because the pathways are extremely narrow.
Oh, yeah. I freaked out, and I had to go through the opposite direction to get out, and it was like,
When I was a Cub Scout, we went to Battleship Cove in Fall River, Massachusetts.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And we actually stayed overnight. It was really cool. But one of the things we did was we went to check out the sub that they have, the decommissioned sub. And it doesn't submerge or anything anymore. And they actually, in the entryway to go down, it's a storm door. And I was 12 and my brother Chris was 10. And out of all the kids in our pack that went to this thing, we were the only two. The second we got on the sub and we saw that, we almost pissed our pants laughing hysterically. Like on the fucking deck of the submarine, like lost our shit. And my dad looked at the two of us and he was just like, oh my God, I did this. I raised these idiots. I know exactly why they're laughing. And everyone else was like, what the fuck is wrong with the Powers boys? Guys, I'm going to reiterate. We went to a tour of the sub, and to walk downstairs, we had to go through the storm door for the stairwell. There was a screen door on a submarine, guys. It was fucking hilarious. We could not contain it. Like, it was ridiculous. We looked like we were doing a fucking pee-pee dance. We were laughing so hard. It was like if Muttley had two human children. It was fucking great. Just amazing.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I don't know if they replaced it because of little idiots like us, but... here I am 20 something years later, and that's the most memorable part of that entire stayover for me. I stayed in the cod on Battleship Cove of a screen door in a submarine, guys. Like, you would not fucking believe it.
Oh, that's funny.
But anyway, enough of Navy bases and noises and getting buzzed. You know, we're dealing with some delays coming out. Like we were saying, Top Gun, Mission Impossible, Ghostbusters Afterlife, which, like Leo had said, the Ghostbusters Afterlife delay is not really all that bad. It's just by 7 days.
Originally Venom was supposed to be delayed and take Morbius's date for next or in January, but they changed their minds and Venom is still slated to be released in November.
Yeah, they're doing their best to keep Venom on the same track. So, we'll see how that all pans out. What else we got here?
It all depends on people getting the jab.
Yeah. You know, do it. Do it for the people around you. You know, do it to be selfless. Try not being selfish. I know that's hard for a lot of us out there because being selfless feels an awful lot like, why the fuck should I? But believe me, this is one of those instances where doing that is actually going to help you too. So if you think about it, you're still kind of helping yourself, because the more people that get vaccinated and, you know, maintain proper protocol, the quicker we get back to a better sense of normalcy. You know, the more you fight against those things, the longer this drags out. I don't understand why so many people out there don't understand that. I mean, I have an idea, but I'm not going to say it out loud because I don't want to be that guy. But please, 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 with a cherry on top, just go get yourself vaccinated for the people around you.
Exactly.
Not you, just for them. And ask them to do the same for you. Yeah. That's how this works. Please.
And the way science works, and I know it's a little bit of a difficult concept, but COVID's mutating only through the unvaccinated. If you're vaccinated, you know, and you get COVID, it doesn't have a chance to mutate.
Okay, let's put it this way, gang. All the like resurgences, or I shouldn't say resurgences, all the surges we're seeing, the spikes of COVID-19, the Delta variant and what have you, and the huge numbers of cases that are flooding hospitals and getting to the point where they have no room anymore and they actually have to turn away people who need surgery for things like cancer treatment. I feel it's worth saying out loud, and this is not debatable, it's a fact. All of those cases are from people who are unvaccinated. There's not been any kind of surge of people getting sick and showing up at hospitals because they were vaccinated. So all this side effect, I'm going to get sick and this is going to do it to me kind of shit. Nah, that's not how it works. That's not how it's working at all. Those reasons, they're not viable or valid. And I mean, the goalposts are getting moved again because the whole thing was like, oh, it's not even FDA approved. And, you know, they just rushed this and they just put it out. And no one really gave it the okay. Now it's FDA approved. Yeah. And people are trying to say like, oh, well, look at who does this and look at who does that. They're pointing at Dr. Fauci and his wife, like being in cahoots over stuff, even though she has literally nothing to do with the FDA approving drugs, nor does he. So like, whatever. Listen, it's a bunch of bullshit. Anything else you hear, the people in hospitals who are sick, they are unvaccinated. And what's even more enraging is not only are they unvaccinated, a lot of them are showing up to the hospital saying, okay, well, you can give me the vaccine now. No, too little, too late. Like, you can't get the vaccine if you have the illness. That's just not how it works. And secondly, how fucking dare you individuals who fucking rail against the vaccinations get sick and then go to the same professionals you won't trust over the vaccinations? You can't have it both ways. So how about when you get sick, stay home, stick to your convictions. Let's see how that works out for you.
Yeah. In, I don't know what country it was, but I guess some doctors in other countries have been refusing patients that have been sick with COVID.
That's happening here in America too.
Yeah,
being unvaccinated.
Also a big thing that's, let me get in a little Brandon rant here. Disinformation, all right? Disinformation is just running wild and rampant all over the country. You have to trust the experts. You have to believe the experts. Don't believe what you see on Twitter. Don't believe your friend or your family. Your
fucking crazy uncle that you only see on Thanksgiving. Yeah.
Or your fucking congressman from the South that wants to incite riots. Just believe the health professionals.
Yeah. Just listen to the health professionals, and just honestly, like, we can leave it at this. Just keep this in mind, and I won't say anything more about it tonight. Be a good person. And when I say that, I'm not trying to vilify people who aren't vaccinated or anything like that. What I'm saying is be a good person, because good people, part of what makes them good is doing things for other people.
Yep.
That's, I mean, a lot of us are here because we love superheroes and comic books and stuff like that. And I know some of us really enjoy The Punisher and shit. That's fine. But some of us like people who don't just like go off murdering people left and right. And, you know, there's a basis of, you know, being a do-gooder and all of that. So, I mean, there's something about these characters in those instances, whether or not we're talking about movies or comic book characters, anything, you know, good guys are good guys. And there's something about that that appeals to our better angels, our better natures. Let's keep that in mind. Like, think, put yourself in like your favorite protagonist's shoes, like a hero. Would they behave in such a way where it would be detrimental to the people around them? I don't think so. So anyway, like we were saying, guys,
yeah.
Probably a good idea for a lot of us who might have, like for me, I'm asthmatic and I'm a controlled diabetic. Don't worry, guys. I'm not going to die if I eat an M&M yet. But if I go and get sick, there's a strong likelihood that I would die. And, you know, if you have some as they're called, morbidities that go along with that, please do not risk going out to see any of these movies. Please wait. And also, it goes without saying, don't pirate the movie. Please don't. Because if you do that and then the movie doesn't do well, guess what? You're part of the reason why it didn't do well. That being said, Pluther. But
I want to put this out there. I buy every movie that I love.
Listen, if you, anybody out there, if you are amassing a digital library, that is great. Just please make sure that you like you purchase the thing that you are downloading.
That's how you're going to get the best copy for your library anyway, too.
Absolutely.
Like, I spent a good probably 7 months ripping my entire DVD and Blu-ray collection to throw on Pluther.
Nice.
It took me, it was just...
Fuck, dude, I should give you some DVDs and shit to fucking burn onto it. I'll fucking show up in Connecticut. Hey, here's a box, Leo. I'll see you in a month.
what was a pain in the ass was the TV shows.
Oh.
You know, because... Yeah. And the way the ripping software works is just... It's a pain in the ass. Like it was hell going through the Golden Girls collection. But hey, my wife loves Golden Girls. She has the full box set of all the seasons, and that was one of the first things I worked on to put on our home library.
You know? So it was a labor of love.
Yeah, totally.
My cousin Steve Powers is also super into Golden Girls, inexplicably and ineffably. But hey, there it is.
Hey. Wanted to say Daniel RPK, which is a you've heard him on the show before, is a
fairly reliable leaker.
He says the Batman test screening had audiences screaming and squirming. I hear one scene had people gasping.
Well, in fairness to those people, they did flood the theater with gas. Yeah, we'll leave them breathless. I don't think you're supposed to pump carbon monoxide in there. Oh, I'm sure you think a lot of things.
I wonder how much euphoric gas they've pumped into this theater for Batman.
Oh, jeez. Steven.
Here's your Mountain Dew and your ketamine. Here you go. So did you want the mescaline or the LSD? Oh, mescaline. Oh, here you go. That's going to keep you awake. Good stuff.
I was trying to find it, but I can't. It was one of the latest pictures from Batman, and DC digitally altered his sideburns.
Ah.
And they're...
What?
Battison. Battison. They cleaned up his side.
These are not good enough?
Well, I mean, the pictures have been him all gruff and, you know, grizzly, and it was...
They realize they fuck up a digitally altered mustache. They want to digitally alter the sideburns.
Well, that was the joke. It was DC trying to say that they can digitally alter facial hair, and it was.
Hey, look at what we're capable of now, guys!
They're fuckers.
But there was big news with DC Fandome. They did announce what we're gonna be getting in October. We're going to get The Batman, a new trailer.
Very cool.
DC League of Super Pets, also a new trailer. That looks awesome.
I can't wait to see that. That's gonna be cute as hell.
Oh yeah.
If I'm wrong, is Dwayne The Rock Johnson gonna be voicing in that?
Yeah, Crypto, I think, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. He's like the main character.
Speaking of that, Black Adam, we're getting a teaser.
Dwayne Johnson's in that too, right? Yeah. I think he's like the main character.
It makes sense because they wrapped filming about 2 months ago. So
yeah, and The Flash, we're getting a teaser. And the leakers have been saying that it has Cavill. I can't think of her name. Essentially,
Sasha Calle?
No, Wonder Woman.
Oh, Gal Gadot.
Gal Gadot and Batfleck.
Ben Affleck.
Have been spotted.
I'm fucking Batman, kid.
They have been spotted for shoots.
I'm going to kick your ass, Superman.
The Flash teaser, Aquaman, we're getting behind the scenes footage. Nice. And then the Shazam sequel, we're also getting behind-the-scenes footage as well.
It's kind of cool that they...
These are for Peacemaker as well.
Yeah. Yes, Peacemaker on HBO Max. I do think it's kind of cool that in Shazam War of the Gods that they have the actress who plays Mary Bromfield playing Mary, not Marvel, Hero Mary. I don't know how they... Shazam Mary, Shazam Mary. I still think they should be calling him Captain Thunder in the fucking thing. I mean, just fucking, you know. I mean, I get why they can't call him Captain Marvel. It makes sense. And for everybody out there that's like, that's so stupid. Why don't they just call him Captain Marvel? If you can't fucking figure that out at this point, come on. Like, just fucking walk in the traffic.
From what I understand, the Shazam Captain Marvel gimmick was basically a rib on Marvel.
No, not at all. Captain Marvel was straight up like the character's name. Marvel was not Marvel Comics at the time that he was created through Wiz Comics. They were still Timely Comics. But what happened is a few decades down the line, they forgot to recopyright the name Captain Marvel. That's all that happened. They did, and what happened is Marvel Comics was waiting and they beat them to the punch. It was like the day before, and they went there like, oh, here's the paper, and they're like, too fucking late, somebody else already has it now. And so they went to court, and the decision was made that Marvel Comics could use the title Captain Marvel on both the actual series of books that they might want to use a character in and a character, whereas Shazam or Captain Marvel Shazam could use the name Captain Marvel as the character, but they could never advertise or title a series with Captain Marvel. And that's why it became Shazam and the Power of Shazam. It really became like the Power of Shazam through and through in the late 80s, early 90s with Jerry Ordway doing a trade paperback that developed into a series. They tried to do a new Shazam series back in the early to mid 80s. It was a little weird. It didn't last very long. But they
70s
tried...
or 80s?
I think it was 70s to 80s, maybe.
So, yeah, it was the one where it was a Native American kid, right?
Maybe.
And the old man, they traveled around in a Winnebago.
No, that's the television series.
Oh, okay.
I mean like the comic books.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, the comic books, because that's where it all kind of came to a head. But yeah, even with the show Shazam, they had to call it Shazam because of the legal issues with Marvel Comics. Honestly, it was a real dick move on Marvel Comics' part. Like, it was pretty fucked up. They're just sitting there twirling their mustache, waiting, biding their time. But that being the case, now with the zeitgeist being what it is, more people know that Captain Marvel is Brie Larson in the MCU. So, you know, when it comes to Shazam, the big red cheese, as Dr. Savannah called him, it makes more sense for the story, at the very least, to be known as Shazam. But back in the day when, like, Otto Binder was writing for the character and it was still Wiz Comics and all that, Fawcett Comics, Fawcett owned him, and Wiz Comics was the title. Wiz Comics and Sensational Comics both eventually... with DC and what have you, when they sued Fawcett as well, DC, because they said that Shazam, Captain Marvel, was a ripoff of Superman. So like, there's been all kinds of legal stuff with this character for many, many years. But with everything that's gone on back in the day, they actually did call him Captain Thunder for a while. It wasn't Captain Marvel all the time. So to call him Captain Thunder later on, like now, there's a precedent for that. And not for nothing, I mean, we saw that even recently in everybody's favorite fucking comic book of the past decade, Flashpoint, when it showed the seven kids, which was the framework for what we see now in the movie Shazam and the new comic books. The Marvel family, the Shazam family, but with that, like in Flashpoint, when the kids said the word, they formed into Captain Thunder, and their pet cat, you know, was like a ferocious tiger, Tawny, right next to Captain Thunder, which right there was like a whole like, oh, so He-Man is Captain Marvel, I get it. But yeah, it's like, there's a precedent for it. So just call him Captain Thunder and, you know, maybe people will just get used to it and shut the fuck up.
Oh yeah. I prefer Captain Sparkle Fingers though.
Sparkle Fingers?
Yeah.
they call me Queen Man.
So that was the big DC fandom news we're getting in, October. Yeah.
Then a Steve Urkel holiday fucking special is coming out.
Wait, what?
Yes.
What's that? Did I do that?
Well,
like, yeah.
So that, along with a Gremlins animated series.
That's on Netflix, right?
No. HBO.
Oh, yeah.
No. Yeah.
No?
Being created by HBO Max for Cartoon Network.
Well, okay. There's still corporate synergy there because they're all over the
planet. They own each other.
Ooh, synergy. Is that the best word?
Yay!
Or Gremlins cartoon, but please, Cartoon Network, just do me this favor. Do not use the animation that you used Thundercats War in. It was horrible. I don't want that animation.
That Tom fellow on the Dorkening said to please use that animation from Thundercats Roar. He said it was terrific.
Well, I think the animation houses, and if this is being funded by HBO Max, I'm sure it's going to be good. But like Netflix recently with He-Man, and there's the new Witcher cartoon. There's the new Mortal Kombat. So I think there's... I think maybe it'll be good. Hopefully. We can't tell.
Wow. There's hope. A huge dip in confidence at the end of that fucking sentence.
Well, no, because then I started
speaking of the Mortal Kombat movie that's coming out. Did you see the Warner Brothers animation logo where they had it's been storming around social media for the past 24-48 hours now, with Scorpion jumping out in front of the Warner Brothers animation logo and then couldn't stop laughing, and everybody is still pitching to Ed Boon, actually. I think was the one that posted it. And it was awesome. It was awesome. So people are still hinting that they want Shaggy to be a fighter in Mortal Kombat.
No! What? That's insane!
A DLC character in Mortal Kombat. They actually want Super Saiyan Shaggy to be a character in Mortal Kombat.
I understand that those are two completely different franchises that they want to meld into a third franchise, right? Like,
so are you saying that's a rumor that the Mortal Kombat movie will have that?
No, I don't think they it was just like a rib, just a quick little cameo by Super Saiyan Shaggy.
Well, if somebody can, you know, if you can like
let Leo see that, he'd be appreciative.
No. If you
it was trending all over Twitter.
Yeah, if you gaze along my screen.
It's our favorite jelly bean and pickles.
Yeah, if I come across it, I'll send it to you.
Oh, no.
Sorry, guys.
If you look above you right now. Are you missing that? What's happening there?
Oh, yeah, there it is, right there.
Oh, ooh, look at that. Scorpion. And he was pulled into the WB logo.
By Shaggy.
Like, get over here, man.
Yeah.
Far out. cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty neat.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If I'm just going to say Pluther.
I'm telling you, man, it fucking works. You're welcome.
Steven?
I can't, speaking of Shaggy and Scooby-Doo, I still can't wait for that cameo for that crossover movie with Courage the Cowardly Dog.
Ooh.
I don't know enough about Courage the Cowardly Dog. Unfortunately, I feel like our buddy Julian would be wonderful.
Very good show.
And
very
a good huge show. Resource in a conversation about that. For me, I've seen bits and pieces of the show over time. I think I was just a little past the demo for that one. But that's not to say if I sat down to watch it now I wouldn't enjoy it, because I mean, most recently I sat down with my wife Dara and watched Gravity Falls on Disney Plus.
That show was awesome.
Yeah, I watched that at the behest of Justin Cooper. He had mentioned it several times, and you know, I finally turned to my wife and I was like, you know, Coop says this is pretty good. Let's check it out. And I put it on, and I did not realize before I started watching. Like, I'm a huge Twin Peaks fan. And when I started watching the show, I was just like, what the fuck is this? This is a kid's cartoon on Disney? All right, let's do this. It was fucking awesome. Like, we went from like, maybe this will be good, to I love this fucking show in like a week and a half. Like, no word of a lie. My wife's birthday was like, it's at the end of May, and just from the short amount of time that we buzzed through the entire series, including the shorts, I bought her every single fucking Funko Pop.
Oh, nice.
Every oh yeah, nice indeed. Some of those are not cheap. I was like, oh, Funko Pops, I'll get her the Funko Pops. I was like, oh man, should I leave the price tag on to prove how much I love her? Nah, I won't do that. That's tacky. Or is it? No, it's tacky.
you know, they come in their own case when they're expensive.
Yeah, yeah. Like, and that's the thing. Like, every single one came in its own
like hard case.
Yeah, I was like, yikes. I mean, one of them was like, I was surprised that it was as costly as it was. It was Grunkle Stan. He's the uncle in it, the granduncle. Yeah. And that was the one that was like the most expensive. And I was like, what? Why him? Like, I don't get it. And sure enough, I finally bit the bullet. I was like, literally, I bought every other one. What am I like? Hey, here's an almost complete set. But that really expensive one, good fucking luck. Have fun. The hunt is part of the fun. No, it's not. Anyway. I just don't. I think, is it available on HBO Max? Courage the Cowardly Dog on their cartoon.
Yes, it's in the Cartoon Network section.
Cool. I'll have to check that out. I'll put it on my list. I know a lot of people dig on it. Yeah, a lot of people dig on it, and you know, it's not. I'm not in the habit of yucking anybody's yum, especially if I haven't like partaken of the thing that they're talking about as wholeheartedly as they have. So yeah, I'll put it on the list tonight before I go to bed at 3 a.m.
Yucking anybody's yum?
Yeah. Okay. You don't want to yuck anyone's yum.
Oh, okay. Is that the same as tickle your buttons?
I mean, no. I feel like tickle your buttons probably has like a dirtier connotation. Whereas when I say I don't want to yuck anybody's yum,
no, I get you. I get you.
Well, I mean, I'm explaining for anybody that's listening now.
I just wanted to bring it around, you know, full circle. You know?
Show us your mapatazzi.
I have a show that I want to recommend for you, Brandon, because I saw it last week. And it's on Netflix, and I watched it with my girlfriend, and we just reviewed it on our show today. It's a documentary on Bob Ross called Happy Accidents, Betrayal, and Greed.
Very good documentary. I'm glad you brought that up. That was a very good documentary.
Yes. Yeah, if you haven't seen it, definitely check it out.
It is. We actually added it to our list last week. My wife and I are both acutely aware of it, especially because my wife loves Bob Ross. I mean, I don't know anybody that dislikes Bob Ross. You know, it's like, I find his voice very grating. What? What are you, a monster?
No, it's you will find it very interesting in how, obviously we know the man is loved a million times over, but the hell he went through.
I'm sure.
That's all I'm going to say about it. It's just...
Yeah, you know,
you know what I'm talking about. Say,
you sold the car,
still
man.
Playing
let me drive it out the lot.
Even to this day, on all digital streaming, you can find them on Pluto. You know, there's like a whole channel on Pluto.
Oh, yeah.
Devoted to Bob Ross and
I put it on my TV when I leave the house and my dog is alone. Yeah, that's what keeps Otisburg company when we have to leave the house for a little bit. He's like, no, you're going to leave me forever? Yeah, but we're leaving with you, the Paint Man. Oh, okay, Paint Man's here.
Happy little trees.
Happy little trees for the dogs to pee on.
There's, I think, is it Peacock? They have a Bob Ross channel.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, totally agree.
That's what I put on.
he's on everywhere. He's pretty much taking over.
Yeah, it's... I mean, it is funny to note that, like, we're all like, oh, Bob Ross, so great. But, I mean, the whole thing about his show was it was just to sell supplies. people lose sight of that all the time. Like, he was selling paints and easels and maybe even canvases for all I know. But, like, they kind of lose sight of the fact that he was pitching all of this stuff. And now it's become like, oh, what a slice of Americana. It's like, yeah, kind of. I mean, he learned from that fucking German dude. You ever watch that guy? He's a riot.
No.
No? Oh, my God. He had a show on PBS, too. Like, he did his own, like, selling. That's where Bob Ross learned, was from the German dude. And this guy, like, he would just use a fucking brush like this wide that you would paint the side of a fucking house with, and he would just be like, yes, so we will go here and we will mix the cerulean blue with the midnight black, and it gives us the slight tint that we want for the midnight colors, and they're bam, and then just whoo, the entire fucking night sky up on a canvas. Like, how the fuck did he do that? Like, all and everything with one, that one size brush, no moving around and changing shit, nothing like that, just like, and then we will put the trees and we get a little green going with the brown and we mix it a little and bam! And all of a sudden there's like a fucking million thin little trees, each with intricately detailed branches and little leaves on them. It's like,
nice.
How did you do it? And he would just be like the most depressing person in between like the actual explanation and be like, yes, I've been married to my wife for 57 years, and she is nothing but a dragon on my energy and who I am as a person, and I cannot wait for the day that I either go deaf or she is dead! And you are going to want to use a little bit more blue up here on the corner where I have gone.
What the fuck?
I'm telling you!
Okay, send us links so we can check it out.
I'll try to find them. Okay. Delighted me like nobody else, man. It was great. But yeah, talking about real quick, before we close up, I mean, we had mentioned earlier, fucking weirdos making art. Kevin Smith rapped on Clerks 3, and the premise, what some people might not realize, and I've seen some questions about it. It was kind of funny to me. They don't know exactly what's going on with it. And Kevin Smith himself has gone on record saying Clerks 3 is based a bit on his own experience with his near-death experience a few years back with his heart attack. And anybody who's a fan of the View Askewniverse movies from Kevin Smith probably should understand, probably knows already that Randall is Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
For the most part. Like, he is a combination of Kevin Smith and his good friend Walt Flanagan. And what happens in Clerks 3 is Randall experiences that same near fatal heart attack that Kevin Smith did. And he comes to the realization, like, holy shit, I've completely like wasted my life. And I think I realize like what I'm supposed to do. Like, I want to actually be an artist instead of just mocking the people that make art. And so he decides to make a movie about working in a convenience store and possibly rental place. And it's called Inconvenience. And for Smith heads out there, like myself and probably Steve, you will know that Clerks, before it was actually filmed, like the first drafts of it, the name of the movie was Inconvenience. And that's the name of Randall's flick in Clerks 3. Now, the question I've been seeing a lot of is Clerks 3 going to be in black and white because they're back in the store and that's how Clerks 2 ended?
They said that Kevin Smith said it will be in both black and white and in color.
And he actually elaborated upon that a bit more. The movie Clerks 3 that we will be watching will be in color. Inconvenience, the movie that Randall is shooting in the movie Clerks 3 will be in black and white, and white, just like Clerks was. And what's great is they're actually essentially recreating Clerks in Clerks 3 with different performers. So we're going to see a lot of those same shots that we know of from Clerks in Inconvenience within the confines of Clerks 3. It's going to be weird and hopefully really cool. But I have a lot of faith that this one will come out like really, really fun. And hopefully be like a really sweet bookend to the entirety of the series, because I felt like Clerks 2, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't as great as it could have been.
And it seems like just yesterday they started shooting, but it was like a few weeks, about a month ago.
Yeah, well, it was when he stopped doing his pod, his Saturday show, because
What was that? I can never keep track of all of his shit. Like he has
Fat Man Beyond.
Oh, is it Fat Man Beyond?
Yeah.
Yeah, like Fat Man Beyond, Fat Man on Batman.
But back to that, we'll get back to that in a second. But Kevin Smith has written the script longer. Like he did, I think he did the script in like a year, but he's done the filming in like within a month and a half or something like that. So
He's definitely economical when it comes to like getting his filming done, like the production and shit. So,
and I'm sure he had to do a rewrite because the Clerks 3 script that he wrote, I mean, he's been doing readings at panels with it.
Yeah.
So for years and years. So
I was actually at a panel at Boston Fan Expo a few years back where he actually read from Jay and Silent Bob Reboot. So like he loves doing that shit. Yeah. And I will say, like, I saw Jay and Silent Bob Reboot. I went all the way to Portland, Maine for it to see it with him and everything. I met him afterwards. It was awesome.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. He's a super nice guy. We were both in the same hotel, and he actually saw me outside again after the show because I was standing out there and, you know, in February before we knew there was any such thing as COVID-19. And he saw me again. He was super stoked. It's great. But yeah, like it was he loves getting everybody jazzed up with his shit, and like it's the right crowd to do it with. You know, like he knows his audience, and I haven't heard anything from Clerks 3, and I'm actually kind of glad for it. I want to experience it like as it is on the screen. I do think it's funny though that like I've seen photos of everyone that's in Clerks 3. You know, I saw the cast photo, and obviously there were a couple of people who weren't there. But man, like Rosario Dawson just has like a fucking portrait of herself like decaying away in an attic somewhere, aging for her as part of some kind of Faustian agreement. Because Jesus Christ, that woman is still absolutely gorgeous. And like, she doesn't look a fucking day older than when she was in Clerks 2, the very least.
And speaking of Kevin Smith's podcast, I have a friend who works with the Tell Him Steve Dave stuff. And he was at the opening of Kevin Smith's podcast studio, which is in the place where the Quick Stop is.
Red Bank? Leonardo?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Red Bank, but it was also, it's where the video store was.
Yeah, and RSD.
Have either of you been, or any of you been to the Quick Stop?
No, I want to, but I haven't.
So, I have.
So up until, what about you, Tom Dog?
Oh, I haven't been there.
Okay.
It was years ago, but I've been.
Yeah. When we went probably about 4 years ago, the video store, even though it was closed, still had VHSs in it.
Nice. Well, it was the family that owned the building altogether. Yeah. So, when you went there, when did you go?
Me or Steven?
Leo, when did you go?
It was about 4 years ago.
Steve, when did you go?
It was about 2018 because I went to Monster Mania, and it was on the way back. I still have the black and white photo of me.
Oh, nice.
Now, did you go inside the store?
I went into the Quick Stop, and we also went into
Secret Stash. I did that too.
Yeah.
Nice. Now let me. I just want to ask you a question. When you were at Quick Stop, did you buy anything while you were there?
Yeah,
a monster.
Did you use cash?
No.
You want to hear fun quick little thing.
Yeah.
I'm the reason they can accept credit cards and debit cards there.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, I used to work as a cold caller for a credit card machine company, and we got our stuff at random. And one day, the next number that popped up right there was Quick Stop Convenience in Leonardo, New Jersey. Yeah. And I almost creamed my fucking jeans right in my cubicle. And it was the most excited and up I was for any potential customer. And the gentleman who answered, actually it was a woman who answered, and then she got her husband on the phone. They were both South Asian.
Yep.
And I spoke to each one of them. They were both very sweet. And finally, the gentleman was like, oh, okay, you know, let me hear what they have to say. And I was like, all right, great. And just hold on a second. And I pushed them through, and I ended up getting a teeny tiny little commission on it because they decided to go through with it.
Nice.
Yeah. So, like, whenever anybody's like, I went to Quick Stop, I'm like, did you buy anything? Yeah. Did you use a credit card? Yeah. You're welcome.
So, yeah, the thing is...
that was part of my pitch to them. I was like, listen, there's a famous movie that was shot in your store, what? And there are people that show up from everywhere. Wouldn't it be nice when they show up if you could take any form of payment they wanted to give you? Because they came from far. They might not have a lot of cash. And the guy was like, well, that's not a bad point. There you go.
When I was there, I asked the guy as I was checking out, he goes, so you get a lot of people that come here because of the movie? And he's like, yeah, they come every day. And the store is exactly the same layout. It hasn't changed.
Awesome. He should have played it so much cooler than that. He should have been like, what movie? That would have been fucking
It was like, you know, he seemed like tired of it. Like
he's just over it. Yeah. I get it.
No, I just,
because there was, even while we were there, there was like some, there was like some indie movie, like filming like outside.
Oh, it was like, God. Yeah. So he was like, I let this one fucking kid shoot a movie here overnight fucking 30 years ago. And I'm still dealing with this bullshit outside. Yeah.
I'm sorry to interrupt, Steve.
He fucking left and went to the West Coast, and I'm still here. This is stupid.
What were you going to say, Steve?
No, I was just saying earlier that my friend helps with the Tell Him Steve Dave podcast, and he helped with the grand opening of Smod Castle, which is
nice.
In the awesome. Quick Stop, which opened a month and a half ago. So.
Very cool. And and the new store, apparently they have a podcasting spot, like, in the back, right?
It's called Smod Castle.
No. You have
Quick Stop, you have the video store, and then you have Smod Castle, which is his own like podcast studio / venue where you can do live podcasts in there.
Well, yeah, Smod Castle is next to the Pit Stop, but in the secret stash
Quick Stop,
you know what I mean.
Leo, fuck you. You know what I mean. Jesus Christ. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But in the new store, I was watching a video as they were giving a tour of it. They have like an area set aside for like doing podcasts there as well for the comic book guys.
That's cool. Yeah. Comic book man.
Yeah.
Since they can't do it in the new location, probably. Maybe they can. I
don't know if there's, because Ming had his own thing that he was trying to do. He had his own podcast studio.
The Merciless?
Yeah. Shared Universe.
Yeah.
Hey, here's something for you real quick. And Flash Gordon, right? At the very beginning of the movie, when Ming's fucking with Earth, right? He's never actually like been to the planet. He doesn't know the name of it. Why does he have a button named Earthquake? Shouldn't have been like Planet Quake. Just saying. I just watched Flash Gordon this past Sunday, so.
Flash.
Dude, I used to sing that every fucking episode of The Flash on the CW, and then they actually used it in like the season finale, and I was like, this was a 5-year fucking joke I had going, and they completely ruined it by actually using the song.
They did?
Because they heard you.
Oh,
yeah,
nice.
They did. It was cool. It was done cool. Because it was Cisco. He was like, wait a minute, I have the perfect song for this. And he starts playing it like over the headset while Barry's like doing his thing. And Barry's like, really? And he's like, come on, just let it go. And it was straight up Queen singing Flash Gordon, and starts off, Flash, oh, and the whole thing, he'll save every one of us. It was fucking great. But yeah, I watched the movie for the first time in a very long time this past Sunday, and it is exactly as terrible as I remember it.
So here's some trivia, and I just Googled it just to make sure I wasn't going crazy, because I thought about this when I was playing the game. The old NES game Rygar.
Love that.
Wow.
Okay. The stage one song for the NES version is a derivative of Queen's Volton's theme, Attack of the Hawkmen for Flash Gordon.
Not bad. My Hawkmen. I see that guy, Brian Blessed, and all I ever think of is fucking the Ghost of Christmas Past in Scrooge. It's the milk of human kindness.
Yes, I like this very much.
Oh, Albert Finney.
Well, on that note, I know we have something else we need to record, so we're going to wrap things up. We've also been going for almost 2 hours, which is crazy, but it's a lot of fun.
Everybody loves it.
Yeah. we will start with Tom Dog. Where do you like people interacting with you?
Well, I'm on Facebook and Twitter with the Bro Pearl group page. You can check that out. You know, basically nice one-stop place for content creators, whether it's podcasting or YouTube stuff. You know, come and check it out and have a lot of fun. And I do a lot of random tomfoolery over on Twitter at TomDog247. And then I got a show coming up tomorrow, live show coming up tomorrow, where we start the weekend early on Channel X. And celebrating all this year, we're celebrating 20 years of Channel X, a lot of history behind that. And this weekend I'm doing Wrestling Prime as well, which marks the 25 years I've been doing Wrestling Prime, which also puts me in there with 25 years being in media altogether, because I started off in public access. And check it out on the YouTube channel /TomArcade69. I have a lot of fun stuff coming up. We just wrapped up, did the best I could as far as doing the Tom Dog Days of Summer. Kind of botched that up a little bit, but it's okay. But yeah, if you like what you see on my YouTube channel at TomRockK69, thumb up the video and leave a comment down below with any topics that I talk about. And also, more importantly, face hug that subscribe button. So yeah.
Awesome. Steven.
You can follow Super Retro Throwback Reviews on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can follow our multi-award nominated podcast, Super Retro Throwback Reviews, all major podcasts and distributors, and on the multi-award winning Dorkening Podcast Network. Episode 162, Don't Sniff Paint Thinner While Admiring Happy Little Trees, comes out Monday. If you can think of the title, we talk about review Bob Ross, Happy Accidents, and Betrayal and Greed, and so much more. So definitely check that out. We have another podcast called CSI The Vegas Files. So definitely check both those shows out, again, on the multi-award winning Dorkening Podcast Network. And as Leo said in the beginning, I am the assistant manager of the Dorkening. So I'm managing all 40 shows of the network. God help me. So, yeah.
Hey, you asked to help.
Yeah. Sarcastically speaking, but yes, I'm doing very well, according to Leo. And check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/superretropodcast. Just check that out. Check that out.
Cool beans. Powerful right now.
Hey, everybody. You can, I don't say follow, but join me over at the Powers Combined Facebook group. I believe everybody on the show right now is a member.
Oh yeah.
So, you know, we have a lot of fun, a lot of fun, geeky info and memes shared. Good times, laughs be had by all. And, you know, rule is don't be a jerk. If you violate that, you'll be booted immediately. And you can follow me on Twitter at Brandon's Powers and on Instagram at This Brandon Has Powers. And then I'm here every Wednesday on The Dorkening at about 9 Eastern Standard Time. And we are also doing a bi-weekly podcast coming up called Comics Paradox, covering alternate reality tales such as What Ifs, Elseworlds, and then potentially like other series and story arcs that might be dealing with such things like Age of Apocalypse from Marvel, if you're familiar with that. But aside from that, you know, everybody just keep a happy thought in your head, happy song in your heart and a jelly donut in your glove box in case you get hungry when you drive.
Oh, you know what I just remember when you said everybody? I put a little chat in my work chat box at work, and obviously at work. I'm tired. I'm sorry.
Indeed, that was cool.
I was just being goofy. It was a long day, and I said, Friday afternoon trivia for you. Finish the song. Open the door, get on the floor, everybody. And then I stopped it right there.
Walk the dinosaur?
Somebody said Grateful Dead. I'm like, what?
Everybody Grateful Dead? They thought that's how that ended? That didn't even fit the rhyme scheme.
You know what that song really is about, right? The Walk the Dinosaur song? If you listen to the lyrics, it's about nuclear annihilation.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. It was a night like this about a million years ago. That's as far as I can go, guys. Copyright.
The movie.
I
they also played it in Super Mario Brothers, the movie.
The Dream Team.
Ding! That is a great movie. Arise, my son. Thank you. Boom! I love that flick. I haven't seen that in forever. I know for a fact my wife has never seen it, so that'll be fun. And not that we've ever talked about it. It's just she hasn't seen it. Like, let's be real. I explained to you guys. I brought up the fucking New Adventures of Pippi Longstocking to her the other day, and she had no idea what the fuck I was talking about.
That's like peak Michael Keaton for me. That's like a great Michael Keaton role, too.
I think Johnny Dangerously is like way, way up there for me in the 80s. Like,
oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, that right there. And that's another one that is killing me because it's not available digitally yet.
It's on Prime.
Is it? Motherfucker. Yes.
Johnny Dangerously?
I gotta go.
I haven't seen Pippi Longstocking in like forever.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the thing. I made reference to the song Laundry Day. My wife was like, she just gave me the card.
It's funny, I still remember some of the lyrics to that song, too.
Yeah, but I said it, and I actually did kind of like, you know, it's a holiday, you know, scrubbing day, not laundry day. And she just, like, gave me the cartoon, like, bing, 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 what? Like, are you just making shit up now? And I was like, I fucking wish I was making that up. Fucking musical talent I would have? No, that's from a terrible movie in the 80s. Have you not seen it? Are you sure you were alive when we were kids? Were you not just like grown in a lab and then let loose at the age of like 19? Like you were fed false memories? Like I'm pretty sure I grew up in this house. Yeah, well, that's what the doctors wanted you to think.
Wait, is she that little robot kid from the 80s show?
Vicky?
Yeah.
From Small Wonder.
Yeah.
Hello, Brandon. Yes, I will go out on a date with you. Oh, man, I really lucked out. Why? Because she's cute? Nah, because she doesn't know the fucking difference between a good boyfriend and a bad boyfriend. Solid.
By the way, Pluther.
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 Pluther. Yo, no, I know. It's on a list on Pluther already. Okay. Like, I'm aware of that.
Wait,
I'm
you're saying... you're making a list? You can make a list on Pluther?
Can you?
Yes.
Okay. You
guys not aware of all the functionality of Pluther?
Well, like, yeah, I normally put together my I do collections.
Yeah, I have. Well, I mean, I technically you could call it a collection, but it's a watch list, and name of the watch list is Better Off Dead because that's the very first fucking movie I put on there.
Oh, nice. No, collections are pre-made.
Oh yeah, no, I've seen those. Okay. I've seen those.
Yeah, I love making those. Like
I made a watch list for myself. You know, got a bunch of stuff on there because yeah, I'm too fucking lazy to go through every single time and look at every single thing. I'm like, oh, just check out the new shit when it pops up. But yeah, man, it's fucking awesome. If you haven't done that, you should do that. And it's great because like once you finish watching whatever, you can just kick it off the list and you're done with it. You know,
nice. Yeah, I need to do that because it's too much.
It's daunting.
Watch. Yeah, yes. Yeah. It is. On that note, for me, I'm the monkey behind the keyboard. My name is Leo, and just Google me. But more importantly, check out the Dorkening Podcast Network. Like I said, just about 40 shows on a network. A lot of awesome people doing a lot of awesome stuff. And with that, we'll catch you guys there. Bye.
Bye.
Here's the long piece.